welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning again and welcome to all of you during this wonderful Christmas season as we celebrate the coming of our Savior into the world. Last Sunday, we spent a few minutes together talking about and asking the question, what child is this? And we spent our time looking at the truth that while Christmas is about the baby who came in the manger, there's much more to the story than that. And I encouraged you not to stop at the manger, not to spend your life just thinking of him as one who came as a little baby in a cradle, but one who came for a cross to die for our sins. And today I want to sort of finish up part two of that message and talk about the hope of Christmas and what it is exactly that the coming of this child into the world means to us. If you have your Bible, let me ask you to open it, please, to the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. This is God's Word. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Have you ever caught that, church? Verse 20. "But after he had considered this..." You might want to underline that in your Bible. That phrase, if put into practice in our lives, will save us a lot of trouble and heartache and mistakes. "After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, what we read last week in Isaiah chapter 9. 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." It would not be an overstatement in any way for me to say that the coming of God in human flesh to redeem mankind from sin is the best news that helpless and doomed humanity has ever heard. Were it not for Christmas, and I don't mean the commercialized Christmas that we see around us, I mean what we truly celebrate, were it not for Christmas, I want to tell you, church, there would be no hope for this old world. No hope. We would still be lost in darkness, wandering around trying to find a shred of purpose in this life. We've talked about it before that between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, although it is just a turn of one page in our Bible, 400 years of history pass by in that turn of a page. 400 years that the world waited in darkness for the promised one to come, with no recorded word from God whatsoever for 400 years, not one. And the world waited, and it's almost as though God's heart grew weary of the sin of mankind. He grew weary of sending his message to them again and again, begging them to repent and turn to him, and it's as though he shut the windows of heaven and wept for 400 years. And the world lay in darkness during that time. I can't help, as I think of that period of history, but to think about the great old Christmas carol, which is my favorite Christmas carol of all, actually one of my favorite songs of all, Christmas or not, O Holy Night. Did you know that when that hymn was first written, it was rejected by the church as not being spiritual enough? Church makes a lot of dumb mistakes over time, don't we? O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Have you ever caught these next words? Long lay the world in sin and error, pining. We don't use that word anymore. It means to have the deepest longings for, waiting for, craving for, crying out for. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till He appeared. And the soul felt its worth. Who writes things like that? What a statement. Till He appeared, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. What powerful words the hymn writer used to sum up those 400 years that led to that night when our Savior came and the darkness was shattered with the coming of the light, capital L. When God stepped out of heaven and took on human flesh and came to be one of us so that He could show us the way. What does all this really mean to us, though? Do we really understand what the coming of this child into the world has given to us? I began making a list over the last couple of weeks of things that I could think of and then things that I went and searched for in the Bible that are ours now because this child was born. And out of kindness to you, I'm not going to give you the whole list this morning. I chose three. And by doing so, I feel like I'm doing a great injustice to God's Word. But forgive me, if you will, for time's sake. I want us to consider just three things that are ours today. Three things that we've received because this child was born. Number one, we've received God's love. His love. If Christmas shows us anything at all, church, it shows us the Father's heart. It shows us what a great heart of love our Father has for this world. And I want to tell you, no greater gift has ever been given in all of humanity than the gift of God's Son. No greater gift has ever been given. As you and I give gifts during this season to remember the gift that was given to us by God, sometimes we fall short of finding and giving that perfect gift to someone. And I think us men particularly have a difficult time with this. I start trembling just thinking about going to the mall this time of year. Us men are not really bright when it comes to this. Men, can I just, ladies, if you would tune out for just a moment. Man, I want to just say something to you real quick, just as your friend. If you've already bought your wife's Christmas gift and it's a blender or a vacuum cleaner or new tires for her car, men, listen to me. Heed my voice. Take it back. Quickly. And buy something else. I'm saving your life here, I'm telling you. Take it back. You know, us guys are terrible at this. My wife is an amazing gift giver. She just has that ability to kind of know what to do. I'm still waiting for the Ferrari, but one day, maybe. I keep dropping hints. For 23 years, I've dropped hints. You know, we do our best to give the right gift to people that we care about, and yet we miss the mark so often. But I want you to know that the gift of Jesus is the most personal gift, the most perfect gift that has ever been given. Jesus came in person. He didn't come to us as a religion. He didn't come to us as a set of rules. He came in person. And through His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection, He brings us into a personal relationship with Almighty God. Are you kidding me? It's the greatest gift ever given. It's also the costliest gift ever given. I remember when I was getting ready to ask Sandy to marry me, I started looking for diamond rings. And found one, and I was like, well, I'll sell my car and sell my business and whatever to buy this for her because I love her and I want to show my love for her, and I'm still paying that thing off. I took the extended payment plan. I'm going to tell you, it was a costly gift. It was a costly gift. Some gifts cost us a great deal, but church, listen to me. No gift has ever cost more than when God willingly gave His Son to die for you and for me. There's no costlier gift ever given. I've told you before, I would give my life for this church. There are a handful of things in this world that I consider worthy enough to give my life for, but I wouldn't give my children for anybody. None of you. I would fight to the last breath in my lungs to keep them safe. And you see, when you think about it in those terms, suddenly we begin to understand a little bit about the heart of God and how much He loves us, that He gave His Son, not just to die a physical death, but to hang on that cross and to take upon Himself the wrath of punishment for all of the sins of all of mankind, and to suffer the wrath of God as though He had committed those sins so that you and I could be free. No gift has ever cost more. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich." Wow. Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, freely give us all things?" No wonder Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, and I imagine just struggling to put this sentence into the right words, and he ends up writing it this way: "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Indescribable. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 3:16, we know it, but do we really listen to it anymore? It's almost like the static on the radio. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is." I want to tell you, the first time I read that verse, I hit the brakes, I put it in reverse, and I backed up, and I read it again. I'm about to find out what love is. Isn't that what people spend their whole life trying to figure out? What does love really mean? These teenage boys coming around my daughter, "God, I love you." I'm like, dude, You have no clue what love is, all right? Back off, man. I've told my daughter, if some little punk boy says, I love you, Caroline, you say, you don't have a clue what love is. So we're working on that. She's got that one down. Amen a thousand times over. Love, do we really know what love is? 1 John 3:16 gives us the answer. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. There's the answer right there. Love. Romans 5:6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, if the coming of this child into the world speaks anything to us, it tells us of God's love. Secondly, not only have we received God's love because of Christ coming into the world, but we've received God's forgiveness. His forgiveness. I told you last week, Jesus didn't come into the world for a cradle. He came for a cross. And as we look at these beautiful Christmas cards, and I love them all, with pictures of the little baby in the manger, may we discipline ourselves to pause for just a moment and picture a cross. That's why He came. He came because man was lost in sin without any hope whatsoever of fixing the problem ourselves. That's why He came. Did you catch it in the verse we read in Matthew? It's so easy to miss. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's why He came. Luke 2 tells us exactly the same thing in verse 11. The angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a baby who is Christ the Lord. Is that right? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Not a baby, a Savior. Until we understand how wretched and offensive our sin is before a holy God, and how utterly dire and hopeless our condition is before Him, how absolutely incapable we are of fixing our sin problem, until we truly begin to understand the magnitude of our sin, we will never truly appreciate His forgiveness. Jesus said it Himself. We studied it this summer to the Pharisee when he was in his home having a meal, and the woman of ill repute came in, and everybody in the house gasped. What's she doing in here? And she came and fell at Jesus' feet, and she wept and wet His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. The Pharisee was indignant. He thought to himself, if this guy was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was who was touching him. Jesus knew his thoughts and said, hey, Simon, can I say something to you? Yes, sir. And Jesus told the parable that we looked at about two men who owed a debt. One owed a very small amount. One owed an amount he could never pay. And the person they owed the debt to forgave both of them their debt and set them free. And Jesus said, which one of them do you think loves him more? Pharisee said, well, I suppose the one who owed more. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And then He used that to pierce the Pharisee's heart with a truth, an eternal truth, that Jesus came into the world not to save the self-righteous, but to save sinners. And you see, he used that woman as an illustration to say, she understands that she needs forgiveness. Therefore, she loves me deeply. Simon, you don't even understand that you need forgiveness. That's why you don't love me. Church, we need to know that in order to appreciate the forgiveness that has been given freely to us, we must first understand the depths of our sin before God. Sin to us today is, well, it's become like a casual thing. Well, I'll just ask God's forgiveness tonight before I go to bed and try to do better tomorrow. I'm telling you, church, we'd better start grasping the reality of who God is and His holiness. That without Christ coming into the world, every one of us in this place would have a reserved seat in hell for eternity. It's a great Christmas message, isn't it? You see, you can't understand the beauty of Christmas without understanding the horror of hell. That's why He came, to give us His forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, I've been in a lot of deals in my life. I believe that's the best deal you could ever make, right there. No better investment, no better trade you could make than to trade your sin for His righteousness, and you don't have to work one single second to earn it. You receive it free of charge. Romans 6:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The coming of this child into the world caused us to receive God's love. It caused us to receive God's forgiveness. And finally, through His coming and His death and resurrection, we've received God's peace. His peace. Well, I tell you, I don't remember a time in my lifetime when there seemed to have been more troubling headlines week after week after week after week. 3 years now. Remember the end of 2008 when all this started? 3 years now. It seems like the headlines are getting worse and worse and worse. Economic collapse. Massive banks failing. Countries on the brink of bankruptcy. Greece, who knows what's going to happen there? And other countries. People's 401ks disappearing. We live in times of remarkably depressing and discouraging headlines if we allow them to be. And with news like we've been seeing lately and we continue to see in countries in uprising and people in despair, where in the world, in the midst of all that, do you find hope and peace, church? Where in the world? I ask you this morning, where is your peace in all of that? Is your peace and hope in a good, secure job that you have? I could introduce you to a lot of people in this church who had one not so long ago. Better not put your hope and peace in your employer. Better not put it in your retirement account. Better not put it in your health. Amen? Church? Boy, have we seen a rash of health struggles in our church the last couple of months. Better not put it in a relationship. Friends turn on you. People leave. Better not put it in your bank account. See, where do we find peace in this world? People all over the world search for peace in their lives through all kinds of different ways. And many who realize that they may never find it turn to things like alcohol and drugs just to try to numb the pain and just get through it. There was a wealthy businessman years ago, wealthy businessman, who was found dead in his car in front of his massive mansion in Texas. He had put a gun to his head, and the note that he left for the world was, "I'm tired of trying to find ways to fill up 24 hours in a day." Folks, you can have it all and still have no peace. And I know that this makes us Christians sound like narrow-minded, pin-headed bigots, but I'm going to say it anyway, because God's Word says that there's only one source for lasting peace in all of the world. And it comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only place. Students, you listen to me. You have the world ahead of you. Young married couples, too, you listen. You have the world ahead of you. You have so many joys and thrills in life waiting for you, you can't imagine. And I can't wait to be here cheering you on. And there are so many great things ahead of you. You young couples, as you raise these little babies and watch them grow up, I'm telling you, whew, the joy that that brings is incredible. I heard somebody say a while back, "I can't wait till my kids grow up and leave the house. I wanted to smack them." I said, "I would go back and relive every second with my kids if I could. I'd do it 100 times. I've enjoyed it so much." Listen, as your life progresses, students and young marrieds, and you have all of these joys ahead of you, and I want you to enjoy them all, but listen, as you grow up and as you move through life, you need to know now that you will never find peace in any other source in life than through Jesus Christ. And you need to start planning your life accordingly. Don't wait till you're 50. Don't wait till you're 70. You'll look back on your life and you will curse yourself if you've lived your life for the wrong things. I'm telling you, you will. He is our peace. John 16:33, Jesus spoke these words, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer." I love that phrase. "For I have overcome the world." John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus spoke these remarkable words, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Philippians 4:6-7 tell us, "Even yes, even in these times, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or exceeds all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I'll tell you, as I've grown up, I think back on my life, starting on the mission field in Australia and then in Africa and all over the world, and here in the States, the people that I think about who have inspired my life so much are those who I've seen go through the deepest trials in life. And yet, even in those turbulent waters, their sail has remained set to the course because they have the peace of God in their lives. What an inspiration that is to see people. I think of those in our church who are dealing with very serious health issues right now. And you speak to them, and yes, they talk about the concerns and having to deal with all of this from the human standpoint. But you see, in the midst of it all, there's peace. there's peace. Do you have that today? Have you received God's love? Have you received God's forgiveness? Do you have His peace? And I want to just close by asking this. You know, it's so easy for us to come together as Christians and to talk about Christmas and to talk about what Christmas has meant to us, what Christ has done for us. But as I've told you so many times, the fact that we have been saved is not for our benefit alone. We were saved so that we might reach others. If we're going through life with our salvation as a little card that we keep tucked in our wallet, so that when the time comes, we can pull it out and say, I got saved when I was 8. I'm telling you, we've missed the point of the new birth altogether. What are we doing, church, with the incarnated Christ who came? What are we doing with our transformed life? Are we content to just gather together and celebrate what we've got? I caught this years ago. I had missed it somehow in all the times I had read through the Christmas story, that the shepherds in Luke and the Magi in Matthew all came to see Jesus, and they worshiped Him, and their lives were completely changed by that encounter. But I missed the subtle, simple fact that they went home after that. They went back to their jobs. They went back to their towns, and they lived their life telling of what they had seen. Luke 2:16 says, "So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning Him, what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Listen, folks, Christmas is a time of celebration for us as a church, but it ought to be a reminder that Jesus didn't come just to save us so we could miss hell. He came to save us so that we could be part of His mission on this earth of touching the lives of other people. If you've never seen this verse before, I encourage you to jot it down and maybe add it to your list of memory verses. 2 Corinthians Chapter 2, verse 14. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession of Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." Is that beautiful? It's through us, that the beautiful, sweet aroma of Christ is carried into the world. Is our life an appropriate reflection of the incarnation of Christ? Maybe I can say it another way. Your life is the manger through which Christ comes into the world today. The hymn writer got it exactly right when he said, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." May we live with that kind of purpose and that kind of mission before us every day of our lives. And may we take this child in the manger and use our lives to show Him to the world around us, that God would be honored and glorified, and that others would come to know Him. Let's pray. Father, saying thank you with our words seems terribly, terribly inadequate compared to what you've done for us. And so I pray, God, that we would be determined to say thank you with our lives as well. Thank you for this precious time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.